Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of Galatians chapter 5, I was continuing with the definitions of the works of the flesh by defining lasciviousness. Follow along today. Romans chapter 1, verses 26 through 28 tells what God will do, how he gives up on certain sins, and this is one of them. Now, I share that because there are some of those that say, well, Jesus nor the New Testament address this sin. Well, we just see that Jesus did. And if you go to our website and click on a couple sermons that we have there, what the Bible says on homosexuality, and the other one is titled, We Can No Longer Be Silent. You listen to those two messages from a biblical standpoint, and you'll find out what the Bible says, Old and New Testament. But I can see, because of the way this country's going, because of some literally livered and panty-waisted preachers that could not stand up to a puff of wind, even if that puff of wind was less than a half mile an hour, those men are going to soon say in your churches, we were born with a sin nature. And I agree with that. And so they say, as a result, the homosexual was born that way. They were born with a propensity for this particular sin to be manifested in them. It's not their fault. And so, therefore, we accept them, and we will have classes for them. If you have a preacher like that, just understand somewhere along the line, if he's saved, the devil got a hold of his mind, got a hold of his thought life, and numbers and his position became more important than the truth and the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that church accepts that, the Lord gives you his idea in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through the chapter 7, verse 1. In a nutshell, that very counsel is this: come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Not saith Andy Bloom, saith the Lord. My friend, of course, you make your own decisions, but if it was me, if you have a church that starts having homosexual classes in which they're not trying to see a change in their life, they're not trying to do that. They're going to let them continue and honor their marriages and let them be a part of the church, contrary to the word of God, and just have Sunday school lessons. Get out of that den of iniquity. That's my opinion, for which I make no apology. And if you don't like it, just understand, I'm just a messenger. I'm delivering you God's word. But I will say, unashamedly, I agree with God. And I have had loved ones, I've had relatives caught by this sin. And it is filthy, and I've never backed off my stand against it, even though I love the souls of those people. And by the way, I don't hate homosexuals. I hate their sin profusely. I don't hate them. I believe that God can change a homosexual. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. So God can change them from that sordid lifestyle, that vile stuff, and make them a trophy of his grace. So don't give up on the homosexual. Keep praying, and God can save that soul. And they can not only be saved, but they can be changed, and God can even take that filthy, rotten, of the devil desire from them. And I hope that you'll never give up and that you'll love those souls in prayer, even if they hate you. Just don't give up. Now, that takes us to verse 20. Now, we could spend a long time on lasciviousness because so many churches have used lasciviousness to justify rock music in their church, dancing, nearly nakedness in their church, making their church like a nightclub. Somebody sent me an email not too long ago and had a picture of a rock concert with all the colors and all the lights and all the smoke and everything. And on the other side, it had one just about like it, but you could see there under all those colors and all those lights and all that smoke, you could see pews there. On the one side, it said the club. On the other side, it said the church. And I thought, wow, it's sad. It breaks our heart. But how apropos. But we must move along and go to verse 20. Now, another work of the flesh is idolatry. Now, we remember that the law said that you should not make an image of anything that is in heaven above or on earth or under the earth. Don't make those and use them in your worship. Don't use them to bow down to them. Yeah, they may have mouths, but they don't speak. They may have feet, but they don't walk. They may have eyes, but they can't see. And they may have ears, but they can't hear. You're going to worship a God and ask for help from a God that you've got to carry, that can't move without you, and you're going to ask help of something like that. And if you're getting help from something like that, you know, Satan parades as an angel of light. And he can make you think that what you have is oh, it's good, and it brought you good luck. And boy, Satan can be so deceitful. God said not to make an image. Even of him, you're not to make an image. Why would you use, even the best of gold of this world is still corruptible. Why would you use something corruptible to try to say this is what God is like when no man has seen God at any time, the Bible tells us? And why would you have Jesus on a cross when he's clearly rose from the dead after 3 days? And why would you do that, wear a gold cross? You know, the cross that Jesus was on was rugged anyway, but it's not there any longer. I've visited there now several times, and I've not seen that cross. I've seen the hill, and I've seen the tomb that's empty, but I've not seen that cross any longer. He's risen, and he is risen indeed. You don't have to worship those images. Worship the Lord. I can remember the first time I stood at the empty tomb, and I can remember that Gordon's Calvary, the man there preaching to us, he said, "We don't know if this is the exact tomb." He says, "I tend to think it is because Mark 16 talks about the angel sitting on the right side, and the right side, most of the tombs either went straight back or the opening was on the left. Here it's on the right. And it's right there where there's a garden, and it's there where there's a well, and it's there right by Golgotha." And so as he went on to saying it, but then he says, "But we don't know for sure, and I'm glad we don't, because then people would be coming here to worship the place where he only was here for 3 days." He was less than that on the cross. What did the cross accomplish? The payment, the propitiation, the payment in full of all sin for all time. The unlimited power of his atonement, who can atone for all mankind if, as John 1:12 says, they will receive him. "And as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." And for those that find, as 2 Corinthians tells us, of accepting him. And my friend, as I look at those things and I think of those thoughts, here our Savior, our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was on that cross, but he came down. He was in the tomb, but he rose up. 3 days and three nights, but he rose from the dead. Death could not hold him. The resurrection is just as important as the cross. The cross was needed to pay our penalty in full. But the resurrection was the guarantee of our eternal life in heaven. It is said that the apostles preached more of the resurrection than they did the cross. You'd kind of think that if people were going to carry an image that they use around their neck, it would be an image of an empty tomb. But the Lord tells us that the true worshipers worship him in spirit and in truth. And so if that's the way Jesus said he wants it done, I think we ought to do it the way Jesus says to worship him, not making an image or anything of that nature. So, again, anything that would take the place of God or has a place above God in your life is also considered idolatry. Sometimes that idol is sports. Sometimes it's entertainment. Some people, it's their family. I've watched people that sit in a meeting, a business meeting of some kind, and they have their cell phones and they're on silent so they don't get in big trouble. But you can see how tense they get if that thing buzzes in their pocket and they want to look at it and they're not allowed to. You can almost see them shaking. You can see that they're not with it. You can see people that, oh, I tell you what, if we were to say we're going to block all the cell phones going in and out the church, you know, and we're going to cut off the signal so they can't be reached. Do you know how many people get upset and some that would not just not come to church anymore? I had one time say, well, I bring my phone to see my iPad just to be able to read the Bible off of it. It's so much better. I says, well, you know, I can understand that, but I also know that you can download a Bible to your phone and your iPad, and you don't have to be online to listen to it every time or to read it every time. You see, they like getting the latest score while they're sitting in church. They like getting the latest news item. They like finding out the latest of this or that, and they like being able to text in the middle of something when preacher says something and they want to criticize it, or they want to say, hey, praise God, this was great, and send it out. No. They're controlled by that thing, and they will not admit it, but they are as addicted to their technological device as some people are to alcohol and drugs. There are a lot of preachers that are very, very addicted to technological marketing. You say, what do you mean by that? People used to have names for their churches, Bible Baptists, Grace Baptists, New Testament Baptists, Joy Baptists, and on we could go of the types of names for Baptists. Some of them remove Baptist altogether and the name church, and they certainly don't want the church building to look like a church. If you say Bible, you say New Testament, saved, grace. Oh, any of those things like that. They tell you, oh, that's too negative. You can't use that. In the day that we live, you cannot use that kind of advertising. My friend, there's never been a day in the past that advertising ever won any soul. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation for love.